Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Monday, the 15th of July. Hope you're all keeping well. You had a good weekend. What an eventful weekend in the end with the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. We've been in discussions really in terms of what impact is this likely to have on financial markets, and we actually came to the conclusion not an awful lot. And I think that's been further proved largely by the market open last night and some of the price actions since. Last week, we started to see the gap between Biden and Trump widen in Trump's favor. And all we've seen is that gap just widen ever so slightly more. The flow of capital in terms of donors is decreasing for Biden. It's increasing for Donald Trump now. So all it potentially means is where we're probably more likely at this stage to have a Trump presidency for the next 4 years rather than a Biden one. And that's just assuming that he will stay in the race, which he's been saying over the last week, of course, prior to the shooting. So horrible event. Watching it into the early hours of what was it, Sunday morning, I guess, wasn't it, Saturday night? And market implications doesn't really move the dial to any great extent, which is shocking to say, but that's kind of the reality. Okay, so let's get straight into it. And we'll, of course, start with our risk warning. We'll just see that market impact firstly. We'll see how we can position ourselves. We're already in the equities to the upside in terms of NASDAQ. Got a bit of a move on Friday, a bit of a pullback on the close, and now we are making some progress back to the upside, which is our overall kind of expectation. As you know, we've just been waiting patiently to try and pull the trigger to get into some trades to the upside. Overall, all in all, last week was pretty flat. We were able to get into a few trades, a couple of winning trades, a couple of losing trades for what was quite an eventful week, really. So let's have a look at, in terms of an introduction for this session, we need to be able to consider which markets to trade, where are we likely to get the best opportunities, and where will we find those opportunities. Then our trading strategy kicks in terms of, right, well, what are we looking to do? As you know, for the equities, if the equities have been rallying, we would always look to buy, you know, to get into a bit of a pullback. The problem is some of the quality trades and some of the industry markets have been so poor because they've been just grinding higher and higher and higher the whole time with very little opportunity to get in on a pullback. So where do we want, where do we enter is an important feature. Where do we exit? Of course, it could be for a profit or a loss. How do we manage that risk, keeping our exposure under control? Trade management as well, when the market moves in your favor. We haven't been able to do, when you talk about the whole trading process, we haven't been able to manage trades that well in terms of we never seem to get the move that we would probably expect. There's a lot of indecision and sideways moving markets, really, as you know, over the last month or two. So quite a challenging market condition. We're hopeful. Last week, we're beginning to break out, make some moves, and that's really what we want to try and see. Trading psychology as well, very important part of trading financial markets. The sort of the fear and the anxiety or the euphoria and exuberance that we find in these markets drives price. And we just need to be mindful of these things. So we adjust these considerations every day in our live trade rooms in a very practical sense. And we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient when needed. So let's just take a quick step back before we identify how we're going to sort of move forward this week. So last week was really all about inflation. So and we had a testimony from Jerome Powell, which was he was talking in such a way that we were saying he must know that these inflation numbers are actually coming in softer. And that's exactly what happened. So we had a bit of a strong rally off the back of Jerome Powell. We saw on Thursday of last week, we've seen much softer. Excuse me. We've seen much softer inflation in the US. Headline year on year coming in previously 3.3. We're expecting 3.1. We actually saw it weaker than that, coming in at 3%, with weakness on the month-on-month figures as well. So all in all, we've got this dynamic. There's two reasons why inflation will come down. There's two reasons in which we can start cutting rates. The first one is inflation coming down. The second one is unemployment going up. So, and it's counterintuitive for the Fed because their remit is stable prices and low unemployment, but they need to see those prices stabilize quite significantly, which they have been doing, broadly speaking. Went through a bit of a sideways moving pattern there for quite some time. And now there's the expectation that we will get below that 3%. But let's see if we do. If we get a little bit of a bounce, 3.2, 3.3 next month, then, you know, the gains that we've seen now will pretty much be wiped out again. So there is every expectation that we will be seeing inflation tick lower. And then the PPI numbers, actually, you would expect, or there was an expectation for them to be flatlining, softer, whatever phrasing you want to use, and they actually came in higher than expected. So the input costs are increasing, the CPI, the customer price index numbers are decreasing. Again, a bit of a strange kind of dynamic. Just want to, before we look at the charts, just want to touch upon what's happening in the bond markets. And these imply that the risk levels are beginning to reduce quite considerably. We have a closing or a narrowing of the bond yield. So every time this is suggested, when you have the 2-year treasury yield above the 10-year, we have this increasing risk factor of a recession. And I think it was something like the last 13 times we've seen markets or bond yields invert like this, we've seen a recession. But this time seems to be different, where we're still heading for this soft landing with inflation coming down. And as a result, we very well may see the Fed begin to kind of cut rates on that. So the inversion is actually decreasing. We're now only 24 basis point differential. We were up at 40, 35, 30. Now we're at 24. So this is actually yet another reason for equity markets to rally. So we've got this strange dynamic, and it's worth taking note of this, is that markets have been rallying even with interest rates up to 5.5%. That's not particularly intuitive, but it is probably fair to suggest that there's so much money printed during the COVID period that there's still an awful lot of money swishing around the system, and it's needing to find homes everywhere it can, whether it's stock markets, individual asset prices, like the rally we're seeing in the AI markets, the big seven. There's continual capital continuing to pile into those types of trades. Gold, which is very close to all-time highs. US industry markets and other markets are all displaying upward momentum. So that's a counterintuitive position, really, for the US industry markets, with the Fed keeping rates up at 5.5%. Now, if they start to cut, that weakens, or should I say, that restricts, that loosens market. Let's say when interest rates are up at 5.5%, that tightens market conditions. When the Fed start to cut rates, it begins to loosen financial conditions. And that's just broadly, you know, a positive for markets like the equity markets. So we've got this strange dynamic where we've been in this rally, really quite a significant rally, for quite some time, even with the Fed raising rates to 5.5% and keeping them there for long, prolonged periods. So the only real dynamic, and the bond markets are now supporting that bit of dynamic with Trump coming into power, is that we only really see this market ticking higher. And that's such a strange sort of dynamic to understand, that these markets are kind of buy only. Any sort of dip are very likely to be bought at lower prices. And we're in the NASDAQ still. We've had the Dow Jones make all-time highs on Friday. So we're seeing this broadening of this positivity and activity. We've got new highs in the Nikkei. In terms of the CAC, we're in a long, decent sideways moving pattern, as you can see. And French election, of course, the first round was Marie Le Pen's party, far right. And then the second round, we've got this dynamic where it's kind of a hung parliament, it seems. So what does that mean for the French stock market? It probably means indecision on a prolonged basis. They can't go to the electorate now for another year. So we've not really seen the market move we would have expected. And we're seeing a bit of a rally again in the German DAX. So even though we were expecting, you know, further weakness at one point last week, we didn't get it. We kind of got out of the trade at one point, a little bit earlier than expected. So US indices, unfortunately, our only bias is really to the upside. So it's about sort of timing that opportunity as best we can. And if we get a strong equity market, we'd expect weakness in the dollar. And that's feeding into the overall kind of narrative about the dollar as well at the moment, which I'm sure you're probably mindful of. So so the euro dollar, we're on a bit of a march. The euro dollar, I'm not sure how comfortable we kind of are trading the euro dollar. We're still in a bit of a long-term range. Sizable move, as you can see, in the pound dollar. We had a good trade on that towards the close of the week last week. As we did in the euro dollar, the opportunity was double up. The opportunity to double up was there, but kind of we're still, what's the word, cautious maybe of these markets and a little bit on the suspicious side, because there's some events which occur you'd expect to have a bit of a soft a softer view of a particular market, and certain other events as well you'd expect to have a bit more of a bullish view, and quite often we get the opposite. Dollar yen, interesting rollover. Obviously a bit of weakness for the dollar against the yen. We're seeing a bit of dollar weakness across the board, as you can see. No reason why we wouldn't see this intervention. Well, let's say if this is intervention, it's pretty mild and pretty weak. This little pullback here. Now we'll see how things play out from the 50 period moving average, which is a support level. So we think this is probably more dollar weakness than it is BOJ intervention. And that's the problem with these yen pairs. We're on sort of BOJ watch. And so we need to take that into consideration if we're trading the yen pairs. So elsewhere, really, it's kind of a mild dollar weakness story. You can see with some of these markets, the sideways moving nature of them, the Aussie dollar as well. That's on the hourly time frame, excuse me. But we've seen a bit of a bullish response, a strong breakout over the last 2 weeks to the upside. And New Zealand dollar as well. Not quite in the same position as the Aussie. So you've got to pick the right trades, really. The euro, the dollar, sorry, the euro dollar, the pound, and the Aussie are by far the sort of the safer trades, let's say. So euro yen, pound yen, we're in kind of intervention watch, really, to see if the BOJ will come in even further and start buying the yen, which is a market expectation. That's why we haven't been too active on the yen. Okay, so where are we at regarding these commodity markets? We've seen a bit of a rally, as you can see, in gold, very close to all-time highs, not too far off again. Probably expectation at some point is for prices to reassert themselves to the upside. Will we get a bit of a further corrective move beforehand? This is kind of a double bottom at this level, structural failure trade to the upside probably 2 weeks ago, get a bit of a pullback. And then I think last Thursday, we saw the really strong rally begin to kick in with weakness in the US dollar. And then we're back to equities. So I think in terms of a trade plan for the day, it's kind of, I know a lot has changed as far as Donald Trump and the impact that has on the US election could be really quite significant in terms of him securing a second term. But nothing, surprisingly, is really changing as far as our sort of summary and our expectations of these markets. So we still have this strong risk-on market condition as a result of lower than expected CPI inflation numbers. That is still seems to be the a pretty decent summary, perhaps. So our bias really is for indice further strength, dollar weakness. I think being selective is So be selective there. Indices strength. Be mindful we have PPI. It was those PPI numbers that really were like, oh, okay, that kind of changes things slightly. Okay, just to you know, it may be very much a question that you might have about these markets. Does the attempted assassination of Donald Trump change anything for the markets? In our opinion, not really. The markets were already beginning to price in a Trump presidency, and by pricing it in, almost ignoring it, a Trump presidency will have a few impacts on the US economy. That concern perhaps on the inflation side with, you know, increased fiscal spending. We might see some tax cuts. We might see these trade wars, you know, continue again, where we could have a dynamic where the policies could be inflationary for the US economy. What does that mean for the Fed and their rate cutting cycles? You know, all of these things have, as you can probably expect, significant impact on the US economy. Okay, so look, we'll post this into the chat box for you, just so you just get a little bit of a brief summary and you'll know kind of what we're looking at for the day. We're still in the NASDAQ trade, so we're going to stick with that one. So look, we'll wrap it up there, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. If you've got any questions about anything covered, feel free to post them. But the dollar weakness trades, a little bit more in the euro dollar, the pound dollar, and perhaps something like the Aussie dollar above the others, perhaps, because we're still in a bit of a consolidated phase across the board. And we're not too sure that the assassination attempt on Donald Trump is likely to change an awful lot for these financial markets. Maybe they will in time, but certainly right now, the initial response was very muted. So, yeah, let's take that into consideration when we're looking at these markets. Okay, so listen, on that note, guys, we'll look at this in a lot more detail. We'll get some analysis, of course. And we're very much in this rate pivot narrative. And the problem is we've been in this rate pivot narrative for the best part of a year and a half now without any rates being cut. So there's been no pivot, but we've been active and talking about pivoting for an awful long time. So the Fed have done a very, very good job on sending signals to the market that it's going to cut without actually cutting. So, and if we do start to cut, how many cuts are we going to see? Well, that number is probably increasing now over the last week. So we will break all this down in a little bit more detail. We have a risk on view, indices higher, dollar lower, which is exactly what our trade plan is trying to highlight. And bond yields are falling into place as well in terms of moving to the downside with commodities like we've seen a bit of a rally in gold as well. So we're absolutely in this narrative, and it's trying to find high probability trades within that narrative really is our focus. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. Some of these things are not particularly that clear, but we want to be very precise in terms of what we try to capitalize on. Any questions, feel free to post them. If not, guys, we'll let you go. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll switch rooms, of course, now to the European live trading mentorship room. So if you join us for that, fantastic. You're very welcome to do so. And we look forward to seeing you next time, guys. So from everyone here at the live trade room, all the best. We'll speak soon. Bye for now.